Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
I'm reminded that you can pay a price for a stand you take. You know, in the games, especially like Little League, they will practice on the Lord's Day. And if you don't show up for practice, you're benched for that game, next game. You show up, you're benched. So there are those who, on the Lord's Day, said that they would like very much if they could somehow work it out in their job. They don't have to work on the Lord's Day. And people have paid the price of taking a stand. Now, I'm not talking about works of necessity and mercy. I have chosen another name. Maybe you like Christian Sabbath. I don't care for that. Maybe you like Sunday. Well, that's based after a pagan god. Well, maybe you can put the Lord's Day. Yes, I like that. Well, then what do you have this for? I don't know where that came from, but I kind of like that. It's Jesus' Day. And I can prove that. If I don't get it done tonight, in the future, it's a day. Jesus is our great Sabbath, our rest. Well, I tell you what I want to do tonight. I would like us to sing some hymns that have to do with the Lord's Day. And then there's one hymn I'd like us to work on for our baptismal service. And so let's go to the first one, number 326. This is the day the Lord hath made, 326. Father, tonight, as you've arranged for us to be here, sing these hymns, consider this the Lord's Day. We pray that as we've looked at it from your precious word, it is the day that our blessed Lord Jesus arose from the dead triumphantly. And there is the promise that each of us will be resurrected, and we need resurrected power to live in this world that you've placed us. So we ask for help. We also realize that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Guest, the Spirit of God, came that day in Pentecost. And there was great salvation of souls. And so, our Father, may we look seriously at the blessings that happened on the first day of the week. May we see that it's a day where we meet together and We worship and we praise you, and we also, Lord, study your precious word. And tonight, as we meet for the intent purpose of studying the word and also having prayer where there's need for prayer, and already we notice there are those who are absent and they are in need of prayer, we would think of Mary Jane Thomas in the matter of the fracturing of her leg. We pray that you would look upon her and help her, and Brother James. We also remember those who are on vacation. Your favor and blessing be upon them, the Waltzes. Once again, thank you for this time. We pray that it'll be profitable and you'll be pleased to speak to our hearts individually and collectively, for we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I'd like to do this. You see, not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday, we're planning to have a baptismal service out here. And you'll note in this hymnal, you see some pages that have been placed in there from the Baptist hymnal. Now, there is a Baptist edition of this hymn book. And what we did, without violating any copyright laws, we just took some of the Baptist hymnals and put in there where there's baptism. And so 355 is a hymn that has to do with the baptism. There's the word wave, you'll find that. That has to do with the water. And I think it's a good hymn, but I'll tell you, I don't know the tune. So I think what we'll do what is called a metrical choice. I'd like us to sing this to the tune, Jesus Calls Us. And so Brother Bob's going to play the tune, and we're going to sing 355. There are six stanzas, Brother. Will you sing with understanding as we think of possibly using this for Sunday the 20th in the baptismal service? Tonight, I just want to continue Sunday morning's message. I didn't get finished, and so I basically am going to try to finish up on that particular subject of delighting, a day of delight. The question being is, what is the biblical uses of the Lord's Day? And so tonight I just put this here as the Jesus Day observances. And of course, I'm in Isaiah 58 and plus other verses. The fact of the matter is, if you're at Isaiah 58, just put your finger there. Let's go back to Psalm and a couple of verses. I'll head right for Isaiah 58 in a few minutes, but I'd like you to turn to Psalm 118. Why? Well, I think it ties up very well what the Lord expects of us on the Lord's Day, or Jesus' Day. Psalm 118, we use it from time to time. And that verse 24, precious. Yes, it really is. And it says there about the Lord's Day. This verse 24, Psalm 118, this is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, amen. And while you're near there, go to the 122nd Psalm and look at that verse 1. It goes along with the same thought, and that's still my thought. It should be a day of delight and not weariness and boring. And so in Psalm 122, in verse 1, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I hope you're glad. Now into Isaiah. And on our way to chapter 58, let's stop for a moment in Isaiah 56, because I think it'll just enhance the 58th chapter. And that 56th chapter of Isaiah, the first two verses. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any wrong, or defiling it, or desecrating the Lord's day. That's where it, polluteth actually means. And now that 58th chapter and verses 13 and 14. And I really like these verses. I hope you do too. So that's what I hope that the Lord's Day, the Lord's services, Jesus' Day observances will be, that this will be so for us. Verse 13 of Isaiah 58, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing the pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Let me just say a couple things about that. You know it says about the foot in verse 13? Whichever way your foot goes, that's the way you go. Did you know that? And so if my foot is turned away from the Sabbath, that's the way I'm going to go. I'm not going to carry out the Sabbath. My foot says go that way. It's amazing how be careful of the feet, where you walk, what you do. And that's true. He said, now listen, if you do that, you said, you know, you better turn that foot, but not from the Sabbath. Turn the foot towards the Sabbath, verse 13. And turn away from the doing the thy pleasure on my holy day. And call the Sabbath a delight. Well, it's most people would say it's a delight. Well, it is the delight. And the Lord says, the holy of the Lord, it's to honorable, to honor him, and he shall, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor findeth thine own pleasure, nor speaking of thine words. Okay, what's the bottom line? What's the blessing? He says, then he says, I'll tell you the blessing. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I, God speaking, the very last few verses of that chapter, the Lord is speaking. He said, for thou that delight thyself in the Lord, I'll cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Thus is the word of God. Now, just in case some of you would say, well, I think he expresses his idea pretty much of what he feels about that. And we do have the Confession of Faith, which is, by the way, we ordered 12 more of these. If you don't have one, you ought to have it. The Baptist Confession of Faith goes way back to 1689 and beyond that, back further than that. But on chapter 22 on religious worship and the Lord's Day, Paragraph 5 says that there's to be the reading of the Scripture and preaching and hearing of the Word of God and instructing and admonishing of one another by means of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with heartfelt thankfulness to the Lord and observance of baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are all parts of the divine worship to be performed obediently. Intelligently, faithfully, reverently, and with godly fear. Moreover, on special occasions, some humiliation of fasting, thanksgiving ought to be observed in a holy and reverential manner. But in paragraph 9, I'm missing these paragraphs. The last paragraph. There's 8 of them. You ought to read it. 8th paragraph of the matter of the Lord's Day. Men keep the Sabbath holy to the Lord when having dutifully prepared their hearts and settled their mundane affairs beforehand. For the sake of the Lord's command, they set aside all works, words, and thoughts and pertain to their worldly employment and recreations, and devote the whole of the Lord's day to the public and private exercise of God's worship and to duties of necessity and mercy. It's there, in case you think I'm pulling something on you. It's been the Baptist way. And so, it is to be a day of delight. It is to be, we're to honor the day. And he said, I'll bless you. Well, Lord, take delight in the day and to honor you, and you're going to bless us. That's what it says, Isaiah 53:58. Now, do you want a whole list of do's and don'ts? Do you want a whole list of rules? Don't do this and do this and do this. Is that what you want? Boy, I don't want to do that. But I will take the note of what is the Lord does expect of us. Just as a way of review, I want to tell you that I tried to show, that the moral law is still for today. You say, well, the commandments, well, why are you going to kick out the 4th one? And that's what they're doing. They say, well, there's 10 commandments, yes, but you don't believe the 4th one, to honor the Lord's day, is for today? No. Well, then you better throw the rest of them out, too. No. You see, theologically, we have some real problems. And some of us were taught differently. And so we have some problems. I've been trying to show by way of review that when the Lord rested, that word rest means cessation or ceasing, not inactivity. Now, before I knew the Lord, there was a time where we just kind of lazied around. What do you mean? I didn't go to church, and I didn't have to go to the farm and work until I got a little older. Then I had the chores of milking both morning and evening, but till I got a certain age where the boss left me go on Sunday. And you just kind of lazy around, and we had a big deal with our Sunday paper. And Mom had a big meal at 3 o'clock. But some people think that's what the Lord's Day is. Now, we weren't religious. But it was kind of day, didn't have to go to work. And there's blue laws where there was nothing open. In fact, there was a time you couldn't hardly buy any gas anywhere. And no booze was allowed, except if you belonged to a club like the Moose, the Elks, and the Eagles. I know about them. But what's the point? The point is this, that we have to be very careful. The Lord, he rested, I mean, he ceased from what he was doing, and he joyed in it. It was a delight in what he had done. The work that he had done, he was pleased with. Boy, have you made something, say, that's good. I tell you, that is terrific. That food is just marvelous. I probably couldn't do it again. You ladies know what I'm talking about, don't you? And some of you guys, you say, I worked on that thing, and that thing just came out beautifully. That's what the Lord did. He was pleased. He was not inactive. It says he works all the time. And you're going to be the example, a follow example of the Lord. He didn't have to take a snooze. But there is a time. There is a time that you may have to do that. What do you mean? Well, don't let this be as an excuse for you, but say you've been busy all week. Oh, yeah. We're all busy, aren't we? And so you say, you know, I'm going to have a little rest, or I won't be able to stay awake Sunday evening. And so you may have to take an hour. A man told me last Sunday, he said, I'm going home. He said, I need to get some rest. I need an hour rest at least. Well, he's ill. So if you're going to draw a hard, fast rule on this, I got to tell you something. Just be careful. God is gracious to us. You know, in the early church, they had persecution of Christians around 74 A.D., especially, and the people who were persecuting them from the Roman Empire, they would ask. You'd be asked. And one of the questions they asked, as I found in studying, one of the questions they asked them, do you keep the Lord's Day? Yeah. Do you keep the Lord's Day? And the Christians were, of course, realized that they were put the question to them, and they said, well, they answered, I am a Christian, and I cannot omit it. I wonder how many Christians today would answer like that. I'm a Christian, but I can't omit the Lord's Day. Do away with it. It's sad. Really sad. I like to use illustrations, and they do fall short. Suppose you were a young man, single, and there was this gorgeous girl. And so you're talking, she said, well, I can't go out on dates, but I tell you what, I go to church Sunday night. What's she saying? She's saying, well, you can come to church, and I'll be there. Do you think the guy would go? Do you think he'd make it? Yeah, he'd make it. I want to tell you something. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus, he's the fairest of 10,000 in Song of Solomon. The fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, I do other things. You do. I know the Lord. You do. There's a lover. The Lord Jesus Christ, he did so much. He took our place. He took our sins. He took our hell. And if you know him, you repent of your sins and trust him, you'll go to heaven. You have eternal life. And this one still loves you. Jesus loves me. This I know. And he said, I want you to keep my day. It's his day. The Lord's day. He said, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I'll be there. Wow. Maybe I ought to take a look at this. You know that verse we use? Hey, but I'm coming back to this. But if you want to, you can go to Hebrews. I'm coming back. But Hebrews, you say, well, I know what you're going to go to. Hebrews 10. Yeah, but it doesn't hurt to go there and take a look at it. Because in that 10th chapter of Hebrews, in verse 24 and 25, that's quite a challenge. Actually, it's a command of God. Oh, no, I can take it or leave it. No, you do that, you're violating the command of God. Verse 24, Hebrews 10, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, our Lord's coming. The Bible says the tense is he's on his way. Wow, that is interesting. By the way, it looks like it's kind of a bad sign if we just say, well, I don't think we have to bother about this. I'm a hard-working man. I can do what I want to, and I do what I want to on the first day of the week. He said, it doesn't look good for us if we are Christians and we just do what we want to do. He said, don't forsake the assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is. And this generation, If you watch any of the news, they're closing down. Just last week, they closed down a Methodist church in Williamsport. Well, they actually consolidated with the Pine Street Methodist, but the building's closed. Churches all over are closing down. Well, there's no problem. Well, maybe they ought to hear what the Word of God says. By the way, if you're going back to this, Isaiah 58, which I said I'd be going back to, I'd like you to look at that first verse. Oh, Isaiah 58. Some of you better listen to this because you don't really believe this. He said to Isaiah 58 and verse 1. He said, Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Let's stop it. Whoa, 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 whoa. What's this? Isaiah, he said, when you get up there and preach, you're not Dr. Professor so-and-so and give all your grammatical and a deep study and stand there stoic like. He said, there's a matter of heaven and hell and there's something to get excited about. And he said, you get up there, Isaiah, when you preach, cry out aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. And when you say, I don't like the preacher getting all excited like that, I think you ought to kind of calm down a little bit. Calm down about what? Calm down that people are dying, going to hell. Calm down that there's a beautiful place called heaven. What are you talking about? I'll tell you what your problem is. You don't know what the Bible says about these things, and you're more interested in sophistication than you are the truth. It may be a bad sign that I want the professorship. That's what I want. I don't want any. Don't lift up your voice. In fact, just as of Monday, the big mega churches, the preachers, they're not calling themselves preachers anymore. They said, we are teachers. What? Isn't there any difference? Yes. These big mega church guys, they said, don't call us preachers, we're teachers. Maybe when you pray tonight, maybe you ought to pray that God give us some preachers. Looks like we got a lot of teachers. What kind of preachers? Preachers will say, look them in the face and say, listen, the Word of God says don't be mealy-mouthed, preach the Word. And those guys who say, I don't like it, it's so loud, and so something's wrong. Isaiah was a godly man. And we'll go on while we're at it. Just in case you like to be Pharisaical, the Bible is saying in Isaiah 58, don't follow the ways of the Pharisees. Don't follow the way of the professional so-called preachers. And he says to these Pharisees, you show God's people, Isaiah, their sins. Really give it. Tell them to it. And the house of Jacob. Now verse 2. Yet they seek me daily. Oh. And delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask in me the ordinance of justice and take delight in approaching to God. That's wonderful. Wherefore have we fasted? This is what they're saying. Say they. You don't see it? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls? And thou takest no knowledge. You're telling God. Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with a fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I've chosen? A day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as the bulrush? And to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? It is not to deal thy bread to the hungry. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bringest the poor that are cast out into thy house, when thou seest the nakedness, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and put forth of the finger, and speak vanity. And if thou draw out the soul to the hungry, and to satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the path to dwell in. And then he says, if you'll turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, if you do that, wow, from doing the pleasure of my holy day and call the Sabbath delight. Friends, do you know what he's actually saying? The Word of God is saying, he said, there is a way that seemeth right to man, but it's not of God. And that is to perform formally and externally. I am a good man. I am a good woman. And I do what is right. And I fast. And I externally, everything is, you just do it. He said, no, that's not it. If you just keep the Lord's day externally and formally, I am a man who observes the Lord's day, and that's it, period. The Lord said, your heart's got to be in it. These people, they were following, they were like Pharisees. They were, well, we read about the Pharisees, how that they took the Lord's day and misconstrued it with all their ideas. And the Lord said, no, that's not it at all. Oh, I'll tell you, dear friends, these old hearts of ours, somehow or other we get some dumb ideas, and the Lord says, you better listen. You know, that scripture verse that the Lord says, it take it very seriously. Blow the sirens and turn the lights on. This is a very important subject. Well, we read there in Hebrews 10 that it's an encouragement for people to meet together. I know it encourages the preacher when people show up. I know the preacher's encouraged. And when certain people are not there, he senses it. The whole time he's preaching. Yeah. And encourages one another. Because I know it. Some of you say, where's so-and-so? I wonder where they're at. I wonder where they are. I hear you folks talk like that. It's an encouragement. That's what it says in Hebrews 10, verse 24. And that is to provoke one another, to encourage one another. You know, there's so many ramifications of this business. We talk about Pentecost. That's when the Lord came and blessed in great salvation of souls. That was the first day of the week. It was Jesus' day. Yeah, but I got things to do and places to go and so forth. And I don't have time. Okay. He came in a special way, in a great way, salvation-wise. I had a Mennonite tell me, he says, I don't know about you, but we don't have to be teaching about the Lord's Day. We just go there, and they just know automatically that's what you do on the Lord's Day. I wonder what the Baptists have done. Suppose a person were to treat a slave, treat him royally, feed him, and be real nice to his slave, but starve his wife. What are you saying? I'm talking about in the early Bible days, they had slaves. Treat the slave just wonderfully. Yes, sir, everything they give, but the wife starves. What's the illustration? I can do what I want to do for my soul, the mental and the emotional part of me, and my physical part of me. I can lazy around and just goof off and do my hobbies and all that kind of stuff and do plans for the next week and really just go at it. But I starve the most important part of us, which is our spirit, which when we die goes to be back with God. If you know the Lord. The Bible says we are spirit, soul, and body. What's first? Spirit. And when you read even preachers, when they write, you would check it in the book, they usually talk about body, soul, and spirit. Well, that's an indictment. That's basically what they're thinking about. Had a man the other night tell me that the elder in his church, he goes to a horse races on the Sunday. Had a dear lady tell me just recently that a little neighbor girl or something saw a preacher mowing the lawn. And she said, well, the preacher's mowing the lawn. It was on Sunday. We've got some problems. You say, well, isn't it a big deal? Huh. In the old days, if he did such a thing, God killed him. And the law, the day hasn't changed as far as the moral part of it. Oh, all those ceremonial things. Thank God we don't have to abide by all those things. You can only walk so far. You can only carry so much. Our Lord Jesus took care of those ceremonial things. But he did not abrogate and do away with the fourth commandment or any other commandments. And I tried to show that you can kill Christianity by just ignoring the Lord's Day. It'll eventually, piety will die out, and so will Christianity. I made the statement there was almost an extinction of the buffalo, and that's true. They're coming back. But it was so scary. So many at one time, but now they're coming back. Oh, that we'd be able to see that illustration. That we need to keep the Lord's Day, we need to talk about it. And I want to get to that. Say, okay, you say the Lord's Day, what am I supposed to do? Sit down on a bump on a couch, stare all day, sit down and be quiet. Don't move. Well, that's not what it's talking about. The fact of the matter is the last book of the Bible before Matthew there is, and I want to read that. I'm doing all right with time. Just relax. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, right before Matthew, the third chapter. I want to read some verses of that. Why? Well, the Lord was accusing them of being robbers. He said they were robbers. You get caught robbing today, you go to jail. But in this Malachi, the third chapter, I'd like to start about verse 7. Why? Well, just stay with me a little bit. The Lord's speaking. Verse 6, he says, I'm the Lord. I change not. Oh, but the Lord's changed. No, he's not changed. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Watch this. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances. And one of the ordinances of the Lord is the Lord's day. You have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? And then we have this case, which you have heard quite a few times. Verse 8, Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? We're talking about robbing God. Yet ye have robbed me. God speaking. And when we say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes, in offerings. You're cursed. With a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and I, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I'm going to put there Selah. See, I need help financially. The economy is really getting to me. Don't forget Malachi. Chapter 3, about your tithes and your offerings. Oh, well, that's... Now keep on going. The Lord says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vines cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. I mean, you know what that is. You'd be a farmer, you know what that is. The insects that eat your crops up, and the fruit dropping before it was ripe. Well, verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. That is, if they obey him. And I said to you, people are watching us. Yeah, they are. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Well, the Lord said, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? What, is there any profit that we keep the Lord's day? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness, they're set up, and yea, they that tempt God are even delivered, and then they that feared the Lord, well, they spake often one to another. What are you supposed to do? Listen. They that feared the Lord, they spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, he heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels and my special treasure, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. In the last verse, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You say, that's a lot of scripture. Yeah, but that's just powerful scripture. He's saying, you need to obey me, my ordinances. That includes baptism and the Lord's Supper. And he said, if you do those things and you take care of the tithe and the offering, he said, instead of robbing me, no man would rob God. He said, you've robbed me. And he said, you robbed me also in the context here. You rob me by not observing the Lord's day. You just do your thing. You're robbing me. It's my day. Not your day to goof off, do what you want to do. Not a day of inactivity. Preachers have to work, and that's legitimate. We need to worship. And in worship, we meet together, study the Word of God, not only once, but twice, maybe more than that. And sing and give an offering and study and have fellowship. You know, I really think this is something. You say, I don't quite understand what you're trying to say here. What do you mean you don't understand? Pretty clear from the Word of God without me even making comment. But fellowship with one another, to provoke one another, to encourage one another, spend some time with one another. Just mommy and me and the baby makes three. That's all I'm concerned about. No, that's not Christian. Fellowship with one another. And the best way to do that is in worship. Amen. After worship, spend some time. A lot of people, as soon as they get through worship, zing, out the door they go. And in big churches, nobody even says hello to you. I went to a church down in Allentown area for a long time. And as a college student, and I wanted to meet the folk of the particular denomination I was studying to be. Hey, they didn't invite me to dinner. They didn't say hello to me. Everybody's self-centered. You say that's how many years ago? 50-some years ago. What is it now today? Well, I guess they don't even show up. People don't show up to church. And we preachers, we don't. See, you pay a price if you speak like this. Somebody's going to get angry at you. Yeah, I don't think he has any right to talk like that. Well, if he's backed it up by the Word of God, you better be careful. You may be in dangerous territory. Say, I'll do it my way. You do it your way. God says, you do it my way or you'll pay a price. You do it my way, I'll bless you. It can be a day of delight and gladness, joy and gladness. Hey, that's what I want. I don't want any sour pickle day religion. You can have that. It's like a birthday party. We've been invited to a birthday party. Well, what are we going to do? Well, we'll show up, have some packages of presents, and cake, gifts and cake. And we'll sing happy birthday. And maybe we'll have a meal together, because some people of the old days used to say, it's your birthday and you can select the menu. And they used to do that. They still do that. And so you eat a meal that the one who's being honored. Honor. We're to honor the Lord. Honor Him. Put Him in first place. Not ourselves. Put the Lord where He belongs. High and lifted up. Yes. The Lord says, honor me and I'll honor you. I'll give you delight in me. I'll give you delight. I'll delight in you. So it's a day of rest. Cessation. Not inactivity. Yeah, but I want to go fishing. Yeah. Hey, I like to play golf. I go golfing Sunday afternoon. I may go to church first. I mean, after all, I went to church then. I may have gone Saturday night. I completed my duties. So Sunday, I play golf, and I play football, or baseball, whatever you have, my hobbies, whatever it is. That's what I do on the Lord's Day. I go shopping. You know, people are worried about addictions. And that's something to be worried about. Drugs, alcohol, sex. But I wonder if you know there's addictions other than that. I wonder if you know there's addiction to that I just have to do this. That's my thing. And that's what you think about. Oh, I got a job, and I do my job, and I work at my job, and I prepare for my job. I have the right to do this, and I do it. When? Well, I do it on Sunday. That's my business. Psalm 37, and I close with this. I love this little psalm, and you'll find if you've been around me a while, you've heard me use it, haven't you? It's precious to me. I think we need to be encouraged, because it's a tendency to do the opposite. Because we'll fret. Psalm 37. In verse 1, God is speaking. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Well, I don't know. They look at all those guys, what they do, and they have their get-together on the Lord's Day, and I can't go. Got to go to church. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Who said something just to me recently? There's more grass cut on Sunday than any other day. I believe you said that to me, Sonny. There's more grass cut on Sunday than any other day of the week. Well, it's all right. No, wait a minute. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be said. In verse 4 is where I'd like you to take a little look at before I close. What do you say, Lord? He said, if you delight thyself also in me, that is the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, friends, I know. I've been there, done that. You can sloth away the one day of the week and do anything and everything. And boy, man, I'm so tired Monday. I'm so messed up. I feel so badly. It's Blue Monday. Just feel terrible. Well, why were you feeling so terrible? What did you do? Well, I went golfing. I went fishing. I went hunting. I played football. What do you mean? What did I do? I did all those things that I want to do. What's the matter with you? I don't know. I just feel so bad today. The Lord says, ha. Do you think you're going to really get satisfaction in doing the things, your self-centeredness? I'm telling you, God speaking. He said, if you delight also in me and delight in my day, he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And who doesn't want a heart that's satisfied and is delighted in the things of God and has peace that passes all understanding? Because the Lord has spoken to you about your sins, and you know you're a sinner, and you turn from your sins and you trust Jesus Christ as you for your salvation, and His Spirit lives in you. Now, I said to Judy that I wanted to get to a matter, and I didn't get there last Sunday, and so I'll try to get there now. There's a whole series of books here. They're biographies. Biographies of what? All missionaries and men that God has used. I don't mind saying most of them came from my library. They were such a, and they look like they're kind of worn. You know, you have children and grandchildren. Maybe you ought to get into the realm of you know, spend time together with one another as adults. That's great. Talk about things. And I'll say this. I think that if our talk is always how to make money, that's not right. But if a person asks you a question about some of those things, I think it's all right to talk to them about what you know. But listen, if we could just take some time and say, well, I'm not a teacher. You don't give me that. If you could just say, hey, honey, I'd like to read something to you. Can we spend a little time together and read something about one of these missionaries or one of these people of God? There's men and women in both of them there. You say, well, I don't know what you're trying to say. You mean you don't understand? You don't get what I'm trying to say? To spend time with people. Spend time with people. I said to you last Sunday, it's nice that we old folk kind of tell some of the young folk some of our boring stories. Boring to who? Maybe to your wife because she's heard it so much, or to your husband, he's heard it so much, but maybe not to the grandson or grandchild. And tell how the Lord's worked in your life. They just might like to hear that. The Lord's Day. Worship, man, worship the Lord. Learn all you can about the Word of God. Go twice. Just sing and praise God and give your offerings and have fellowship with one another. Come on, loosen up a bit. If it's just going to be a pharisaical, formal, external thing, then go someplace where they do that. Sit there. Don't get excited about anything. Don't say amen or anything. Listen, dear friends, these are exciting matters. Just not my opinion. Read the Word of God. These folk got excited. And I said to you about reading Pilgrim's Progress, or listening to it by on CD or on tape. We have both. Sit them down. Say, I want to play something for you, honey. You might be surprised that they'll enjoy that better than out there, you know, playing football and baseball. Children have to have some exercise. Take a walk with them. You've been around. I worked for a Mangus family, and I want to tell you, Mrs. Mangus, she was up in years, and I was a little guy, and she'd take me out in the garden. She said, now this is this, and this is this, you can do this, and this. And I wasn't interested, but I really kind of was. But she walked me around the garden and said, this is this, and this. She had all kinds of things. I wish I would have paid closer attention, because I think she had some wisdom. I did get some things. How to observe the Lord's Day. Take time for one another. You know what? You may have to pay a price. They'll say you're strange. This generation's culture doesn't go along with that. Why do I need to go to church? You may pay a price.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.